I love these guys.
Hello, and welcome to Secondhand Lions. I'm Bill Radford here with my friend John Drennan. And we are a podcast of two old Lions fans talking about our favorite team, the Detroit Lions. And John has some things he wants to say right off the bat.
Yeah, we're not old fans. We're longtime fans. Hey, Bill, it's so fun doing this. And, you know, last episode I said I wanted to go back on some things from our first episode that weren't, just to revisit them. I shared some things that I felt weren't totally accurate or I was off on. And so, you know, after every game, Dan Campbell talks about going back and cleaning some things up. Sometimes he says, yeah, we got a few things to clean up, or he says, we got a lot of things to clean up. So I want to do that on this podcast. Got a few things to clean up from our last podcast following the Hall of Fame game. One is I talked about the new technology of the virtual measurement for the first down. And I talked about, I don't really understand it, but I thought it was pretty cool and was wondering if they actually can determine the spot with this new technology. And turns out, no, the spot still comes down to the official. And you and I know a lot of times it seems like they get that way wrong. But the official determines the spot. But then they've got a series of eight cameras that really zoom on based on that spot. Where's it compared to the line? And then the technology can determine. And that avoids needing the chain being brought out. And one of the ideas is for accuracy, but the other one is once they get this down, it's actually faster than bringing the chain group out. So
saves time.
What's that?
Saves time.
Yeah, right. But there is no chip in the football that allows for a perfect spot at this point. That idea had come up somewhere. And then secondly, just last week I was talking about Ahmad Hassanan, and I said sixth round pick, or no, maybe a fifth round pick. Just for our listeners, he was a sixth round pick in 2025. So anyhow, just a couple things there. And so Bill, our last episode, again, was we did it the day after the Hall of Fame game. This one we're doing a few days after the Atlanta game. And I know you referred to the Hall of Fame game as a gong show. That was pretty accurate. What about the Atlanta game?
Well, of course, the major focus after the game was on Maurice Norris and his health. It was a scary situation, him lying on the field, apparently having a seizure, and all the players gathered around and then deciding not to finish the game. It was really surreal. They took me a few minutes to figure out what was going on. They snapped the ball, and then the quarterback just stood there and held it. He held it for, I don't know, a minute or two. Then they put it on the ground, and everybody – both teams gathered around in a circle, and since nothing had happened with the ball, since there hadn't been a tackle or anything, the clock just kept running. And it ran for about 6 or 7 minutes, and finally the NFL called down or whatever and said that the game is suspended. And Dan Campbell had nothing but praise for Atlanta, for their head coach, Raheem Morris, and for the medical staff. And it turns out that thankfully Maurice is probably going to be okay. He's recovering and looking forward to returning to the team at some point in the near future. But as far as the game goes, I think it's been, from my perspective, it's been pretty well determined that Hendon Hooker is not currently an NFL quarterback. He fumbled two more times. He seemed to have trouble making reads. And the thing about that is I just think that's a native ability for some guys have it. Some guys don't. Some guys can improve on it. but I liken it to chess versus speed chess. Some guys, you can be brilliant and play chess as long as you have enough time to consider all your moves. But in speed chess, you got to decide now. And NFL quarterbacks have 2 or 3 seconds, and he doesn't seem to be able to process it in that short amount of time, at least not at this point. So he's third string at best, maybe even taxi squad. The other quarterback, Allen, looked good, much better than the first game, threw 2 touchdown passes. Tesla looked good again. I thought he did really well
Hey,
on the
before you go
defensive
on,
stuff.
Bill,
Go
just
ahead.
back to Kyle Allen. He actually had a perfect passer rating that game,
There you go.
which I believe it's 153.2. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, pretty amazing.
So yeah, I think that I think he's definitely the number two at this point. Hopefully he won't have to play. He'll earn his money holding a clipboard on the sidelines all year, while Jared Goff leads the team to another division title and success in the playoffs. But on the defensive side of the ball, a couple of guys that are new and standouts, I think, are Rock Ya-Sin is a D back, and he's making some tackles that are emblematic of his name, Rock, because he's clobbering guys. And he did that in the first game against the Chargers as well, and I think he's really playing well. And the other guy that's sort of a surprise is Nate Lynn, who was an undrafted free agent. He came to the team last year and then had a season-ending injury, but he's recovered, and they're so pleased with him. They're saying that he might be the solution to the problem of not having a rusher on the other side of Hutchinson. One article said that it might make signing Za'Darius Smith unnecessary. I don't know if that's the case or not, but obviously he's playing well. He's had 7 pressures and a sack in 2 games, and an 11-yard sack on in the game against Atlanta. So much, much better second game. Aside from Hooker, I think they played pretty well.
Yeah, and I was actually on vacation and unable to watch the game, but I certainly went back and watched as much replay and listened to as much commentating as possible, and didn't see the, after the Maurice Norris injury where they did just snap the ball to run the clock, but I heard about it and I think that was the right thing to do. So, same as your comments, kudos to the Falcons and to the Lions for saying, fourth quarter exhibition game, we don't need to finish this. Also, Bill, I said I want to clean things up. So, I looked it up while you were talking. A perfect passer rating is 158.3. I had said a minute ago 153.2. But Kyle Allen's rating was 158.3. So that's pretty awesome for your backup in an exhibition game. And I
That's
agree with
it's
you.
interesting that would be the perfect passer rating. I don't know how they come up with that.
Yeah, I don't either. And I agree. Hendon Hooker, just you can't have two fumbles. You can't. I loved your analogy of speed chess. I'm an avid chess player, and I know I play a lot better if I take time and look at all my options, but you can't do that as an NFL quarterback. And I think
No,
you're right. He
that
just goes.
reminds me of a story I heard from Bill Belichick one time. It's obviously not fair to compare anybody to Tom Brady, but he said one of the most impressive plays that he's ever seen Tom Brady made was an incomplete pass. He said after the game, he asked Brady, he said, "What happened there?" And Brady went through five things that he saw that made throwing the ball away the best option. And he saw them all in about 2 seconds. And Belichick said he looked at the film and every single one of them was dead on accurate. That all those things happened and Brady saw all of them in the space of a couple of seconds, which made him decide to throw the ball away.
Yeah, there you go. Legitimately the best of all time, and that's what he had, and Hooker just doesn't have it. And you made the comment, not everyone has it. And so we wish him the best, but I don't know if it will be as the backup quarterback for the Detroit Lions. You mentioned Rocky Sin. I think he's absolutely a wrap. He's in the 53 roster. Bill, I saw the PFF grades for the offense and defense, the best and the worst. Check this out. Of the five best PFF grades, three of them for the Lions were receivers. Jackson Meeks out of Syracuse had the short touchdown catch, but he had the long, I think it was 68-yard pass from Allen. He looks so good on that. And then Tesla had a high rating. You mentioned him, and he's a bona fide, he's a player who could be a stud. And then you got I think Bell from Michigan was in the top five there, along with Meeks and Tesla. That Lions receiver room is loaded this year, and I got looking. I'm going to go off the Atlanta game for a minute, but I got looking at the Lions, and for my own rating, I said, okay, what part of the Lions is really strong? Well, it's Jared Goff. It's the linebacker group. It's the running back tandem. It's the receiver room. It's the safety tandem. And it's our punter. And then the best edge in the game.
Field
Those
goal
are all
kicker.
like, what's that?
Field goal kicker.
Well, I put him in my next category, which I called good. We could even say really good. But everything I just said, and yeah, Bates may belong in that, really strong. But then good defensive line, offensive line, cornerbacks. I had the kicker and the tight end group. Now, certainly, Sam Laporta, we could say is really strong, but the overall tight end group I put to good just because the backups, I think they're good, but not really good. But the point here is I've never seen a Detroit Lions team so loaded at every position. And we just gotta avoid the excess injuries. The year hasn't started out great, but again, every
Yeah.
team, in fact, we were talking about Jordan Love. And we'll talk more about him in the NFC North. But just want to make that point. And anyhow, any other comments about the Atlanta game?
No, I think that was it. But I read an interesting article. Brad Holmes admits that he missed on another wide receiver that he didn't draft, Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua went in the fifth round to the Rams. Gee whiz, could you imagine Puka Nacua on that team? You'd have to cut practically Pro Bowl receiver to make room for him.
So here's an interesting question. Would you trade St. Brown for Nacua?
At this point, yes. I mean, I love St. Brown. Do you think Nacua is a bit better?
I asked you that question because I asked myself that and I thought, wow, I wouldn't want to have to make that decision. I think probably Nacua's a little bit better. And I actually saw I think it was ESPN top or fantasy football top 30 receivers yesterday. And Nacua was in the top five. St. Brown was number six. And I would tend to agree, Nacua's got the edge.
Yeah. They're both great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Nacua has the edge downfield.
Think he's a little bigger. Yeah.
Brown doesn't seem to catch many, 25, 30, 40-yard passes. It's very valuable what he does, catching 15 yarders over the middle and things like that. I could be wrong.
Well,
St.
hey,
Brown
back
could.
to the Atlanta game. One name that came up after the game in listening to different folks is Nick Whiteside, a name I had not heard. Saginaw Valley guy.
Yeah.
People were pretty high on what he did as a D-back. So,
He was born at Auburn Hills, I think.
yeah, Michigan guy. Yep. Speaking of Michigan guys, switching a little bit, University of Michigan has three players on this week's opponent. We play the Miami Dolphins on Saturday. We're recording this on Wednesday. They have Kenneth Grant, somebody I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if the Lions got him? But I think they got a good one in Tyleik Williams. But Kenneth Grant, a rookie for the Dolphins, I no doubt we'll see him on Saturday. Ryan Hayes, offensive lineman, I believe in last year's draft, 2024. And then Josh Preeb, a guard who was an undrafted free agent. But those three former Michigan Wolverines are with the Dolphins. I think we'll see them all. And then remember Melifonwu,
Yeah.
the safety from Syracuse. So I was very high on him. And I thought he was going to become a Kirby Joseph type safety for the Lions. But he had a lot of injuries. And anyhow, he's a Dolphin now. So we're going to see what he's doing for the Dolphin D-back field. But they got a practice game, or they're practicing joint practices today and tomorrow, I believe. Not sure about Friday going into the Saturday game. What are your
Yeah, I was
thoughts?
disappointed too that we didn't get Kenneth Grant. I remember him running down a, I don't know if it was a running back or on a screen pass or a wide out, but he caught him from behind, about 20 yards downfield. The commentators at the time were just blown away by his, not only his speed, but his not giving up attitude, that a defensive lineman would turn and head upfield and try to catch a running back or a wide receiver. But he did too, he caught him.
He should be a really good NFL player for sure. Hey, Bill, last episode we introduced same old Lions, and that's something we've said, and we're gonna share that once in a while. And another one is we got screwed. You and I have been following the Lions since the late 50s and 60s, and there've been so many examples of same old Lions. We got screwed, and we were never whiners. It was just amazing how often these things were happening to the Detroit Lions. So, how about today kick off a we got screwed example from your deep memory of these things?
Yeah, I tend to remember the, and I still grind on things that happened 20, 30 years ago sometimes. But I got to tell you, the very first one I remember, this probably happened in the 60s. Detroit was playing St. Louis. They were then the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals. And it's very early, maybe the first series of the game. Quarterback went back to pass. I want to say it was Jim Hart. I could be wrong about that. Anyway, he drew his arm back to throw, and a Lion defender had gotten through and reached up and knocked the ball out of his hand. Well, the Lions recovered and they were all set up, I want to say about the 10 or 12 yard line early in the game. I was very excited. I was still just a kid. And then this flag came in, and the referee came in and announced that it was an illegal batting of the ball penalty. I'd never heard that before. I was watching with my dad, and obviously he's 30 years older than me. He had never heard that before either. But illegal batting of the ball, and it didn't even apply in that situation. And I just imagine my uncle said he must have been drinking, reading the playbook the night before, because nobody's ever heard of that. None of the ever other referees challenged him. But that just was first of many. We got screwed. And I'm sure we'll have many more as the season goes on.
Yeah, and Bill, as we do, some people will listen and say, well, you're making that up. That's what makes examples like that so absurd. But I actually vaguely remember that play and having the same disbelief. So, listeners, there's more to come. Well, Bill,
Well,
after the first, we've had the privilege of two preseason games. Every other team except the Chargers have had one. So we had a chance to kind of see how the backups with the NFC North teams were doing and how they fared. And let's just start getting into the NFC North a little bit. In fact, let me put you on the spot a little bit at this point. What do you see? How do you rank the NFC North as of today? And I know it's still early, so let's just get started with that.
I would say, as of today, I would say Lions, Packers, Vikings, Bears. And Vikings and Packers could switch depending on how well JJ McCarthy does. Obviously, the Vikings were better than them last year. And some of it depends on Jordan Love, whether he's injured or not. Although when Love was injured last year, the backup did pretty well and they won some games. So I think it's a tough division. People say the Bears are going to be better. I'm not sold yet. I'm not sold on their quarterback.
So I know we do talk about the North a lot, but I've never just sat down and said, okay, what's our prediction on it? But interesting, right now I've got the same answer. And I'll tell you my thinking. I start by looking at the quarterbacks. I just think Goff's the best of the four. I think Jordan Love is very good and is close. I think in the fantasy world, Love was one position in front. I think he was 16 and Goff 17 in those picks. Third, I think JJ, when you look at JJ and then Williams, both rookies last year, of course, JJ sat, Williams played. But I think overall, JJ, I think for a really first year playing, 1 year of sitting on the bench injured, he's going to be pretty good. I think the Bears are going to be better for sure. They've loaded up their offensive line. They've added some weapons. I really like their first round pick, Loveland out of Michigan, the tight end. But I think they got a steeper road to climb, so I just don't think they'll do better than the other three. But I go
It's a tough
back to
division.
It's a tough division. But I go back to that Lions roster, and I just think we're loaded up in so many areas. We've got the edge. I even think there's a chance the Lions go undefeated in the North.
They lost what, one game last year in the North?
No, they won them all.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought they lost on Thanksgiving. No, they didn't. They played the Bears.
They lost last year to Tampa Bay and the Buffalo Bills.
That's right. I was thinking the year before they lost on Thanksgiving to Green Bay.
Think that was Buffalo Thanksgiving 2 years
No,
ago.
not last year. I'm at the year before.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Anyhow.
Seems to me that, well, I read this article, Dan Campbell saying he might have put too much emphasis on the number one seed. Not that it's not good to get it, but he said he feels like he put so much emphasis on getting the number one seed that once they got it, he said, paraphrasing now, it's like they took a breath, like they'd accomplished something.
Right.
Instead of, that's just the first step. Which I'm sure
Right.
he said that too, but it's good that he's showing self-reflection that he could do things better this year.
Right. And one thing I love here, Bill, with while we're doing this, we can Google things. And yep, 2023, Packers beat the Lions Thanksgiving Day 29-22. And it was the year before that in 2022, the Bills beat the Lions 28-25. Those were competitive games.
Last
Huh.
the Bills game was the last team with the ball at
Yeah.
28-25 game.
Well, isn't it great that it's easy to remember who we lost to the previous year because there were only two past years it would have been okay, we lost 14 games. Who'd we beat?
That would have been the
Used to
question.
celebrate
Who
ties.
did we beat? That's right.
Think we can wrap this one up, and I do want to remind our listeners. Yeah, if you like what you're hearing, please rate us, give us 5 stars. If you got comments, we'd love to have your comments in Spotify or Apple. And we want our fans to become part of this conversation. All right, well, let's have a good game against the Miami Dolphins, and we'll be back next week. Looking forward to it, my friend.
Should be fun.
All right, take care.